Today I'm joined by Biz Portlock and Andy Leggett, who are both appearing in the production of Gentleman Jack at the Oast Theatre. Biz is playing Anne Lister, the main character, and Andy, who is the production manager as well, is playing the character John Lister. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so for those that don't know, tell us about the premise of the play, Andy.
So the premise of the play is that the story of... It's about the story of Anne Lister, who was well known for her diaries, which weren't discovered until her predecessor, one of her descendants found the found the diaries. And it's about... The play is about reenacting episodes from the diaries at which she wrote, which were all in partly in code to disguise names and places which might have incriminated people. And it is literally the story of Anne Lister, who lived in 1791, died in 1840.
Right.
And it's about reenacting the diaries and her stories and her... She was well known, I think, wasn't she, as the sort of first modern lesbian?
Yes, the first modern lesbian, yeah, of the time, yeah.
Okay, so Biz, you're playing the main character, Anne Lister. So
I am indeed,
tell us more about her.
Well, it's an absolute honour, actually, to be playing her. She is a formidable woman. She was nicknamed the John Fussy Gentleman Jack. She was the first modern lesbian, as they called her. She just went out of her way to the social norms of the time. She dressed all in black. She sort of defied everyone and everything. She was set in her ways. She knew exactly what she wanted. She basically carried on doing anything that she wanted to, pretty much like a man would of the time. You know, it wasn't seen that a woman could do that. She owned casinos. Obviously, she, you know, bought mines. She was actually mining. She went out onto the hills and fired pistols. And she's just, yeah, she was a force to be reckoned with. She really was. And obviously she had a lot of romantic relationships with females, obviously, which was completely unheard of at the time and completely, you know, sort of looked down upon and frowned upon. But she didn't care.
No.
You know, she just did what she wanted to do.
Loose cannon.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. So, Andy, John Lister, tell us about his role with in terms of the play and also Anne's relationship with your character.
So, John Lister is a descendant, on the father's side of Anne Lister. He inherited the property in the mid sort of century, mid 19th century, and his role was he discovered in 1895 he discovered her diaries in Shipton Hall, which in Halifax, which is what he inherited, and having discovered them, he discovered they were in code, or written partly in code, Greek letters to protect the...
Yeah, they were hidden as well. She had a lot of diaries hidden within the house.
26 of them and thousands of letters. They were all hidden various places. And he started, with the help of his friend Arthur Barrell, decoding them. So his role was, to decode all the diaries, which took him some time. And the play starts and finishes more or less with that premise, that he's found the diaries, and then it's made clear that the action that takes place was based on the diaries, as more or less as they found them.
Yeah, snippets of her diaries. And actually, when they were first discovered, they believed that they thought they were a hoax because they were so graphic and so, you know, everything that she talks about. But it was found, actually, that they are genuine. And once they deciphered the code, it was very interesting reading.
It was, because it transpires that my character is, it transpires that he is a closet homosexual at the time, which, as Biz mentioned, it was bad enough, if
it
you like, for the ladies. I mean, this was...
Oh, my God, yeah. When you can imagine, I mean, how things have changed.
Well,
goodness me.
1895, when the play starts, was the year Oscar Wilde was imprisoned.
Right.
For exactly that. So, which is why John Lister then hid the diaries, he didn't want his own reputation.
Want other people to know
about him.
Because it would damage his reputation.
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's what the interest that John had in the diaries as well, was to sort of try and get in the mind of Anne to, you know, how could she be so bold? How could she just live her life the way that she wanted to? And John wants to do that. He doesn't know how, and I think he's trying to get answers from the diaries.
It's
quite an interesting time, I think.
Absolutely. So how does the play differ from the TV series? Because some of our listeners may have seen, as I have seen, the TV series Gentleman Jack.
Yes.
How does the play differ from the TV series?
So, I mean, our
or
play,
does it?
We are, well, it does and it does. I mean, yeah, I mean, ours is basically extracts from her diary. So we are showing, you know, little bits. Whereas I think the TV show is kind of a little bit longer. It's all about her life and all aspects of it, and her family and her friends and all of it. But we've also got a little bit of a twist as such. So we are having it set around like a steampunk type theme.
Okay.
So we're kind of rocking it up a bit.
Okay.
But I mean the characters are all the same.
And chronologically, the years are absolutely spot on to the years. If you were to research Anne Lister and the whole Lister Diaries thing, every single year.
Yeah, okay. This play kind of centres more on the relationships that Anne had, and that's with, you know, obviously with the females and also with her, with Christopher Rawson, obviously her nemesis as such.
Yes. So how do you condense that into a play? So how long's the play?
It's about 2 hours. And it's obviously Ross McGregor who's written this, has done an amazing job of just literally pinpointing and condensing down and getting out all the important parts of the relationship.
I think that must be so difficult, because when you, for example, you read a book, it's a big book, a long book, and then you see it on the TV and you think, oh, they've missed that bit out.
Yeah,
because,
it's always,
you know,
be.
They can't do a 5-hour TV presentation or show because the book is too long, so you've got to cut bits out, haven't you?
Exactly,
It's a good point. The interesting thing about this is that he goes from 1834 back to 1810, forward to 1820, back to 1815. It's all over the place.
They just swap around a bit, yeah.
And the difficulty we've had is to try and convey that people, like, if you write it in the programme, with the house lights done, they're not going to remember 11 scene changes.
No. I mean, how does that work with the scene changes?
So
how many scene changes do you have?
About 11.
There are lots. I spend a lot of my time literally running around, either getting clothes on or getting clothes off. Sorry.
Do you know, I can't remember who it was that came in last month talking about your previous production, but that was exactly the same.
Yeah,
and I think
with all the costume changes.
Yeah, one of the actresses that came in said she played 3 different parts.
Yeah.
And I said, how on earth do you manage to do that? So you're changing in and out of different costumes, and you're back on stage as somebody else.
And in that particular eruption, luckily, because it was such quick change, it was...
What production was that? That was the
Brilliance in the Room.
That's it,
The Dickens one, there it was, a jacket on, a hat off.
Yeah.
Well,
I have to get, in full, obviously, Victorian steampunk costume, corsets and skirts and boots into pretty much just a nightdress.
Have you got aircon in the house?
Yes, luckily.
Thank goodness for that.
It's nice and,
We've recently upgraded it.
So have you? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, it's a little bit near the knuckle, isn't it? So with some intimate scenes.
Yes.
Without revealing too much, literally, although it's radio, so you could do. How did you both find that in terms of acting?
Yeah, so again, that's it's really interesting for me. I've never really done anything like that before. But it was, I found it, I don't know, it's kind of exciting and enthralling, really. Having to act with, it makes a difference, I think, acting with great people, and my fellow cast have just been amazing, and we have all just been so relaxed. But no, it has been quite, we have toned it down, to be fair.
Okay.
But there are quite a few, intimate scenes.
So you don't think people will get offended?
Hopefully not. I know, I mean, we have got advisories out there.
Yeah, so I looked on your website this morning, and I think intimate scenes, so...
But that will offend some people, and...
Yeah, well, if they don't like it, they could walk out, I suppose, wouldn't they?
Yes, hopefully.
It's out there. It's out there. We've said, it exists. We try and, in a way, I think we make quite light of it. It's a bit of a romp in some ways, isn't it? Those
scenes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We haven't gone too far, and no. It's just you're just hinting. You know what's happening, and we can't cut it out. You can't. It's part of.
No,
it.
It's part of the actual production
exactly.
and the story, isn't it?
Exactly.
So
it's
without
part of
that, it wouldn't
she
work.
Was. Yeah. She didn't. Sort of, you know, hide as such. You know, she was very bold and out there. So
yeah.
We have to, you know, show some of that.
Yes, of course you do. Yes. Okay, so so it's on from the 18th of July.
Yep.
Until the 25th.
It is indeed.
Yes. Evenings only, or have you got? Is that over the weekend? Have you got a matinee?
We have one Sunday matinee.
Okay.
So that'll be the 19th.
Yeah.
3:00.
Okay. And it's directed by Fiona Dunn and it's written by Ross McGregor?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Tickets still available?
Tickets are still available. They are selling actually quite well. I had a look. Yeah. I think we've sold over 400 tickets so far.
Okay. And it's a small theatre. So
it seats 112.
Right, okay.
So that's per performance. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So there are still tickets available, and we've got air conditioning, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, I think that's very important to get across at the moment, because even by the 18th of July, I think it's still going to be pretty hot.
It is, but, in brilliance of the room, we had air conditioning. Yeah. And some people complain.
It was too cold.
Too cold, yeah. Okay. I'd rather be too cold than too hot, though, when you're watching a play.
Well, all our prospective audience need to know is the air conditioning will be on throughout the performance.
Okay.
Yes. But so no, it is a lovely theatre, to be fair.
It is. I mean, I've been there and it is lovely. And I like the intimacy of the theatre as well, because it's not massive, as those that have been to the Oast before know. And you almost feel immersed into the stage and
yes.
the production.
Yeah.
Whereas if you go to a big theatre in London and you feel as though you're miles away,
miles
don't you?
Away.
So, yeah. Which is what I love about the Oast. Okay. I understand you have an open day, Andy. Tell us more.
So, yes, we have an open day, which is on Saturday, the 19th of September. The idea being to introduce the general public to our existence with the hope that they might join us as volunteers in any form. It's part of an English heritage countrywide movement. Everyone, volunteers, will have their heritage days on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's between 10:30 and 12:30 on yes. Saturday, the 19th of September.
Okay.
And the idea is to come in, all the leads, if you like, on the various aspects of the theatre will be there, showing people around the wardrobe.
Oh, that's a great idea, because, I mean, I know about it because I'm local, but a lot of people, they drive through Hildenborough and they see this, like, Oast House sort of type, you know, theatre.
Yeah.
And they see, oh, yes, theatre. Oh,
I know, I think a lot of people don't know it's there.
No, exactly.
And it is such a gem in the community. I mean, the wardrobe department is just a wonder to be had.
Yeah, I mean, the last time, last month, we had someone in, and they were talking about the whole wardrobe department. So you don't have to be an actor. You can, there's so many roles, so many acting roles, but so many things that you can do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've obviously got the wardrobes, you've got the seamstresses, you've got the backstage, you know, building, painting. We've also got the art group as well, part of the Oast, so they do painting and stuff like that. They have all that.
You've got the sound.
The lighting technicians.
Yeah, so many
props,
aspects.
There's so many things to get involved
in. Just to one production.
The bar.
Yeah. And if people want to get in touch, the bar.
That's a very important part.
Of course it is, yes. So if people want to get involved, even if they don't come to the open day on the 19th of September, where do people go other than turning up at the Oast Theatre?
Well, they can just go onto the Oast website, which is www.oasttheatre.com.
Okay, and they can find out all the info there.
Indeed.
Yeah, also on social media as well, on Facebook.
Yes.
And
it
okay.
is. Yeah. And there'll
perfect.
Be a lot, and if people do turn up, when they turn up to the show, there's a lot about volunteering in the show programme as well.
Okay, that's great. Okay, thank you both, Andy and Biz, for coming in.
Thank you.
And,
We will see somebody else next month from... So what's your next production after Gentleman Jack?
Oh, well, this is the last one, actually, of the season.
Oh, is it? Oh, but you have a break for summer.
We'll have a break.
Okay.
Dracula, the next adult
Dracula.
Show, is
okay.
Dracula in October.
Okay, perfect. Well, we'll have someone in to talk about that in September time.
But there is a September show, which is the Youth Theatre.
Right.
And they're doing a show there for 3 days. But the next adult one, yes, Dracula, in October. And then
perfect.
And then Educating Rita.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, thank you both for coming in. Stay cool. And we'll see someone else from the Youth Theatre in September sometime.
Yes.
Thank you both. Take care. Bye-bye.